Today we want to continue our study in Genesis chapter 2, talking about the difference between men and women. And so now to lighten it up a little bit, if you got Gail Irwin's newsletter, you probably may have read these. Let me just share this with you, Man versus Woman, interesting timing. While attending a marriage seminar dealing with communication, Tom and his wife Grace listened to the instructor. The instructor said, "It is essential that husbands and wives know each other's likes and dislikes." He addressed the man, "Can you name your wife's favorite flower?" Tom leaned over, touched his wife's arm gently, and whispered, "It's Pillsbury, isn't it?" See, you ain't heard nothing yet. "Cash, check, or charge?" I asked after folding items the woman wished to purchase. As she fumbled for her wallet, I noticed a remote control for a television set in her purse. "So, do you always carry your TV remote?" I asked. "No," she replied, "but my husband refused to come shopping with me, and I figured this was the most evil thing I could do to him legally." So, you see, these are issues that are going on in homes all around us, right? So, let me review, because I kind of got caught last week right in the middle of our study. So let me give you a brief review, okay, of where we kind of made it to last week. We're talking about the differences between men and women. I'm focusing our attention. We'll finish up today how God designed a man. It's funny, I heard someone tell me afterwards, "Oh, did you ever read the book Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus?" I didn't read the book, because men are from God, women are from God, okay? And he designed us specifically in a certain way, okay? And so, you know, as I shared with you guys last week, this is, you know, a 7-year period of gathering and gleaning and learning, and God giving me specific things, whether it be through, you know, my own personal devotion or watching a video or going to a seminar here or, you know, things of that nature. But what this is, and what I'm going to share with you over the next several weeks, are just where God just flipped the switch, turned on a light for me. These are like the mountaintop things that God showed me and went, "Oh, that will help. That's the answer I was looking for. There it is." When I applied them into our marriage, I began to see them take immediate effect and bring about the change. As I shared with you guys, Mari and I battled for 7 years trying to change each other, and that didn't work. And so I want to speak to you typically. There's going to be typical men, typical women, leaving room for, if you will, there's going to be crossover in our discussion. And just, I share this with you because of the faulty notion that, well, you know what, I don't really like this one that I have, and so I need a younger one, an older one, a smarter one, a quieter one, whatever one. And I want you guys to understand that God designed us as men, designed us as women, very unique, custom designed, that if you get rid of the one you have and get another one, you're going to get the same package that you just got rid of. So the grass is not greener on the other side. So what we really need to understand is, as I shared with you guys last week out of 1 Peter 3, how do we live with our spouse with understanding? Well, to do that, we need to understand that before Adam and Eve were husband and wife, they were Adam and Eve, man and woman, created unique, designed by God, very, very specific. And what I shared with you last week also is that even though we can't look at their design, and the Bible doesn't say, this is how God made man, this is how he made woman, we can look at the basic components, we can look at what God has done, the tasks that he's given, and we can then deduct that if God asked them to do something, or if he made them to perform in a certain way, then he must have given them the ability, he must have designed it in them to be able to perform that task. And so that's kind of how we're approaching this. So as we, you know, are looking at these kind of things, let's review. I'm going to read the entire section here to you again in chapter 2, beginning at verse 7. Then we'll finish up what I didn't get to finish with you last week. I wasn't going to, for those of you that have gone through this with me in my office, I give a little handout, and I wasn't going to do that, but everyone requested it, so I had Josh make me up a new PowerPoint, so you'll get to see it in living, you know, proof today, okay? Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. "And the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So what is man made out of again? Do you remember? Very good. Okay. And I heard a lot of dirtbag names this past week, all right? Then, we verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So what are the plant kingdom made out of? Dirt. Remember these things for when we get to the ladies. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 10 talks about where this place is at, located. Verse 15, we pick up the narrative again. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, gave him a task, tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God watched his man, if you will, and then verse 18, the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper. Now, you might want to circle that, ladies, because this begins to describe you. A helper comparable to him. So out of the ground, notice something else coming out of the ground. The Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. So what is the animal kingdom made out of? Very good. And he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. So as we kind of continue to remind ourselves of the things that we talked about last week, let's take a look and we'll sum this up to get us to where I kind of, you know, fumbled the ball last week, okay? Very, very interesting. The first thing that we learn, men are made out of dirt. The bottom line, that's the base component of all things that have been made, right? So what does that have to do with us now? We always want to know what's the bottom line. You ladies, as we talked about last week, you can come home with bags of things from the mall saying, look at how much money I saved. I bought all of this on sale. And your typical man is not going to say, awesome. Look at all the money you saved. They're going to ask you one question. What is it? How much did you spend, right? That's the bottom line. You remember that because we'll talk about that again today. We learn that man was created out in the wild. He's wild. There's a wildness about us as men that we long for that place, put into a domesticated garden. And we, you know, there's that desire to return to the wild. We also saw that in the garden that God gave Adam a project to do. Name and categorize these trees and plants. Everything here, Adam, some are good to look at, some are good for food. You figure it out. He also gave him the capacity of choice. He gave him a choice to make, to choose to obey God or to disobey God. So he gave him the capacity of choice. But what's interesting is God gave Adam project number one, name and categorize the trees, the plant kingdom, before he introduced project number two. Project number two, name and categorize the animal kingdom. Notice that they did not overlap. Did you catch that? It wasn't that right in the middle of Adam being, you know, he was halfway finished determining which plants were good for sight to look at and which ones were good to food. God says, by the way, Adam, I hate to interrupt you, but I got another project for you. He didn't do that. He waited for him to finish one project complete, then he introduces him to the next project. Very important that you remember that, because that's what we're going to focus much of our attention on today. So he gives him these very, very important instructions. He gives him very, very important projects to put together. So we are bottom line thinkers. We make decisions primarily with logic. The problems that God has given to Adam so far are, if you will, project-driven problems that needed to be solved. Adam, here's a problem for you. These plants and these trees need to be categorized and determined. Your job, buddy. Adam says, sweet, I got a project. He then finishes project number one. God then brings him project number two. Another problem, Adam. You got to solve this. So we can then determine that Adam is a problem solver, whereby he must use his capacity of logic to solve the problems. So Adam makes his choices and his decisions primarily using logic. He's a problem solver. He is a man, we as men, we enjoy conquering and tackling problems. That is the way that we were created. It's what we do. Now, this brings us right to where we left off last week. We as men then, if you notice, God gave Adam two distinct boxes. Now, in the tree, in the plant box, there was another box. Did you catch it? Oh, by the way, in the midst of all these trees, there's these two. You need to obey me. In the day that you eat of this, you shall surely die. So this is why men are, we are compartmental thinkers. We are project-driven, problem solvers. Now, I know what some of you ladies are thinking. Well, Rob, if you saw all the unfinished projects at my house, I would have to disagree with you. Let me just tell you something, girls. If God would have told Adam to work on the naming and categorizing of the animal kingdom before he finished the plant one, that would have been an unfinished project. So for you gals, if you give your husband a project to do, let him finish that project before you change the priorities and give him a new one. Because we are forward thinkers. We think forward. Once we've finished or once we've moved out of a box, we don't think about the one that is behind us. So if you have many unfinished projects in your home, it will drive us crazy, but we will only want to be working on the one that we're working on. So we can multitask within that box, but we're not very good multitaskers outside of that. So if you have unfinished projects, men typically are list guys, list people. We work off of lists. Especially as you get old, you got to have a list or you forget, okay? But so this is very, very important. This is the way God designed us. So if you have unfinished projects in your home, it's probably because you changed a priority. Well, this is more important to me. But a man will start to get stressed. But I'm not finished with this one yet. Well, I don't care about that. This is important. We will see that kind of in the peripheral, but we won't worry about it. We're moving on. We move on to the next project. We got to move to the trees now. Okay, now we're moving to the animals. And so you got to let us finish what we start or at least come back to it at some point. You see what I'm saying? So I tell you this, and here's what I need to show you, okay? This is very, very simple. This is how we as men, how God designed us as men to process and to think through things, okay? So for some of you that have gone through this with me in my office, you'll remember this, okay? So, for us as men, project number one, or if you will, compartment number one, is the home compartment. That is where we, you know, our family relationship, that is where we get to hang out with you. This is where we, you know, we involve ourselves. We can multitask in here. We can go to, you know, sports with our kids. We can do various things, family-related. All that fits into the home box, the home compartment. Now, most of our time as men is not spent at home. You understand that? Isn't that crazy? Most of our time is spent outside of the home in the workplace. But here's what will happen for most of us as men. We have the home, that's where we sleep, that's where we eat, that's where our relationships take place. However, we don't get to stay there. And within that box, we have another compartment that begins to take place. No matter what time, I know I'm looking at a wide range of different times that many of you, you know, leave your home or go to work if you work outside of the home. Some of you that work inside of the home, it's very hard for men to work at home. It's very, very interesting because we have a hard time distinguishing this. But here's the deal. Typically, for a man, we have our home project, but then we must get ready. We start forward thinking. We're thinking about as the morning progresses, and I'm going to use a typical man that leaves his house in the morning, okay? You can apply it as you, you know, custom to fit you. We begin to think about, what am I going to do? I need to do certain things to get out of the house, to get out of this box, to move forward to the next box. We as men are very routine driven. We have our routine. I will let you in on my box. I get up, I have my, every morning my coffee machine goes off at 5:30. Every day, right? I go out and do a walk, I come home, I do my devotions, I have my cup of coffee, I sit down and I eat breakfast, and then I begin, I move forward to take the shower, to get dressed, and I begin to move towards coming to the office. It's a routine. Now, this is very important for you girls to understand. Typically, most men have that routine because it's our routine to get out of the house and moving into the next compartment. And I tell you this because oftentimes you ladies may come to your man in that mode and start saying, you know, real quick, I need to tell you something. We had a problem yesterday and I need to discuss that with you. And so you come into that part of the box where we are at. And we start going, this isn't working for me. Because so we start moving, we're doing our project, we're doing our different things. And pretty soon, you know, I'm at the sink, I'm brushing my teeth. And Mari's talking, she will feel like she's talking to my, following me around, talking to my back the whole time. You know what I'm talking about, ladies. So your man is acting like he's not paying attention to you. Your feelings are getting hurt because you're saying, he doesn't care what I have to say. He's so rude. Would you just stop and listen to me for a moment? Wrong box. Okay? So we're moving around, and pretty soon, we're standing at the door with our hand on the handle going, I gotta go. I need to leave right now. And you girls are saying, well, fine then. I'll just handle it myself. I don't need your help anyway. And you take it personal because you think we've ignored you, we don't care about you. Nothing could be further from the truth. You just messed up our little routine, okay? I tell you this. Here, Mari and I were, I'm going to let a little cat out of the bag. We're up in Yellowstone, right? We're camping. She gets dry, not a dry socket. Root canal. She has, you know, tooth infection. So we have to take her down to get a root canal on vacation. What a blessing, right? So she wakes up early in the morning, Sunday morning, and she's going, Rob, I can't take this. You got to take me to the hospital. So I say, okay, I'm up. What do? Start going through my routine. Okay, I make the coffee. I'm mixing up my drinking, my making me a bagel, you know, doing my vitamins. She's sitting there going, do you have to do this right now? Can't you not eat breakfast today? I'm going, I could, but I can't. I'm kind of like paralyzed here. This is freaking me out right now, you know. I have to do this. It's my routine, right? So the message that I sent to her was my belly was more important to her than the pain she's in. Although that's not true, I just kind of freaked out a little bit. I have to do this, right? It's the way we're designed, the way we're wired. Now, I'm going to tell you all of this for two reasons. Ladies, you need to know how God made us as men. Men, we need to know how we are so we can say, you know what, I can change that. I don't have to stay that way. So, if you come to your man in the morning and you bring a problem to him and he seems like he's ignoring you, or when he's on his way out, you know, the door, when do you bring those problems to him? When do you get that taken care of? How do you work that through? Well, let me introduce to you the next box. Okay? So here, yeah, email. Actually, you're closer than you think. So here's the deal. Where did Adam name and categorize the trees? Where did he name and categorize the animal kingdom? That was the workplace, you see? For us as men, when we're at work, that's when we are naming and categorizing the trees and the animal kingdom. That's where we are problem solving. That's where we are doing the communication that is required to solve these issues and to work through problems. That's when we're making choices and decisions. That's where we conquer stuff. So you have a problem. When do you bring that to your man? You need to ask him that where he is solving problems in his workplace. You can send him an email and have a wait for him if he does that kind of thing. So here, you need to be able to get into that box. However, I need to give you some instruction in this particular area. In order to have access to this box or to this compartment, you have to ask for it. So you call your husband. Most of us are accessible at the workplace. However, you might be doing, you know, your husband might have a welding mask on. He might be up on a ladder. He might have, you know, looking around our police station. He might have a bad guy on the ground, you know, handcuffing somebody. Can I call you later? You know, I mean, you understand, all right? So you call your husband. Question number one, is this a good time? Obviously, if he's got his knee in the back of a bad guy, that's not a good time, okay? Or whatever it is that he does. Is this a good time? If he says, sure, go ahead. If he says, then you can begin to present your situation. If he says, you know what? No, this is not a good time. Don't tell him, well, call me back later. It's not going to happen. Why? As soon as you hang up, we're moving forward. That box is behind us, okay? We've already forgotten that you called, all right? So you have to be able to say, when can I call you back? Can you give me an hour? Okay? You then say, I'll call you back in an hour. You begin the process again. Is this a good time? Yes, you know, because in our mind, you now became a part of that problem-solving box that we need to say, okay, she's going to call me back in an hour. Okay, I need to be ready for that. See, we put you into the equation. Now, singles, listen to this, because this is you guys and girls. You need to know this about the guy that God's going to give you someday, all right? So now you call back. You say, okay, I need to talk to you about this problem that we had. Little Johnny got into trouble at school today, and we have a teacher's meeting. Now, here's what will typically happen if you do that. Your husband will cut you off in the middle of your sentence and tell you what to do. Have you experienced that? Mm-hmm. And you then respond with, hello, I'm not finished yet. Would you just listen? I need to finish telling you the whole story. So before you begin, we as men, we're problem solving. You're beginning to tell us a problem. We're trying to solve the problem for you. So you need to give us a little bit of instruction to begin with. So you simply say at the beginning of the conversation, you tell us what you need from us. Well, I had a little problem with Johnny yesterday, little Johnny, and I need to tell you about it, but I just need you to listen because I've already taken care of it, and I need you to hear where this ended up. Ah, see, instruction going into, we can compute this. This is logic. We have a little switch inside of us. I don't know where it is. But when we're at work, it's solve problem, solve problem, solve problem. But if we've put that switch down, if you say, I just need you to listen. Oh, I'm here. What do you got? What's going on? Tell me what's happening. Now, you maybe need to tell us, okay, I already took care of the problem, but it's going to concern you, and you need to listen to the whole story. Because you girls like to tell the whole story. Don't you? So, now Mari would tell you, I'm the storyteller in our household. You know what I'm saying? I got to tell the whole story. So, you may need to tell us that. We can then say, oftentimes, if you begin that, because us, you know, some of you rookie guys will respond with, what are we made out of? Dirt. What would be the next question we would ask? How long is it going to take? Right? We want the bottom line. All right? Okay, give me 5 minutes. So girls, don't be offended if your man says, how long will this take? We're trying to process this. Well, give me 5 minutes. Okay, now I'm telling you, we will be looking at the clock, all right, just so you know that, all right? So now you tell us the story. You say, okay, so Rob, this is going to affect you because this may come back around to you at some point later on. Okay, got it. I see what's happened. You've already solved the problem. You just needed me to listen because it could affect me later on. With that proper instruction, see, communication is what we need. This is a tool for communication. If you begin that process with that simple tool, it will help you to be able to communicate with your spouse. Now listen, men, there have been times when Mari forgets to tell me that. She doesn't give me the instruction. So as I begin to listen to her, I can feel those little wheels starting to go, how long is this going to take? I want to solve the problem. You know, where is this going? Those kind of thoughts begin to go through my mind. Sometimes I have to say, hold it, Mari, wait a minute, wait. What is it that you need me to do? Oh, she'll say, I forgot. I just need you to listen. Okay. You see, so as the leader in the house, I can't say, okay, time's up. You blew it. You didn't apply, the proper communication tools, so you lose. Moving on to the next project, right? I can say, honey, wait a minute. You forgot to tell me what you need from me. She's then, you're right. I forgot to tell you. Here's what I need. Okay. Gotcha. So I may need to remind her every once in a while that she forgot to tell me. That's what leadership does, men. And so, guys, just be willing to do those kind of things, you see? And so the next thing that will take place is while we're at work, towards the end of the work day, we start thinking forward. And oftentimes, sometimes for us as men, we work right up until the moment we walk out the door, and the drive home becomes our forward thinking. So men, what do we usually start thinking about when we're in that, you know, latter part of the day when we're thinking forward, either in the drive home or when we get home? What are we thinking about? Yeah, dinner. True. Home projects. We're not thinking about, you know what, tonight's a good night for me to just go home and sit down and take off the shoes and give my wife a foot massage and just, I'm just going to sit and talk with her across the table and just communicate all night. How many of you men think about that on a regular basis? Put your hand up and you're lying. And so we're thinking about, okay, when I get home tonight, because see, we're in work mode. We're problem-solving mode. So we're thinking about what we need to do when we get home. I got to solve the problem. I got a sprinkler to fix. I saw it scraping up in the air this morning when I was leaving. Oil needs to be changed in the car. So we're thinking about various projects that we need to do when we get home. That's the box. So now what can happen here? We come walking into the door and you girls say, good, I'm glad you're home. If you have little kids, take these kids from me. I've been talking to children all day long. I'm out of here. Or you may say, you know, if you've got teenagers in the house, listen, I need to tell you something. This happened with the kids. Or you may say, good, I'm glad you're home. I need to go to the grocery store. I don't want to go by myself. Come with me. And you will watch your man go, what? What? No, I can't do that. You take these kids. I don't need that. I can't take the kids. I've got to fix the sprinkler outside. See? And you girls say, well, what's more important, little Johnny or that stupid sprinkler? See, because you think we're prioritizing things based upon importance. Not at all. We love our kids. We love you. But we've already got a plan for when we get home. And you just interrupted our little plan. See? So what you need to do is you need to be able to help program that box before we get there. When do you do that? When you come back, either in this box right here on the drive home or later in the workday, you may need to call him and say, listen, when you get home tonight, especially for Mari and I, now that our kids are out of the house, you know, she'll say, you know what, I need to go to Costco. I don't want to go by myself. Will you come with me? So in my mind, I'm thinking, got to change the oil. See, we as men, we will do this too. Watch this. Okay, well, all right, I can switch gears on that. I can go to Costco. Well, this is cool because Home Depot's right next door. I can kill about two or three birds with one stone. See, what is that? We're bottom line. What's the bottom line? Okay, if I got to go down the hill, I'll take care of a bunch of stuff. Then your wife can say, well, you just can't go with me and just go to Costco and that's it. You get your feelings all hurt. We're thinking we're solving problems. I'm going to save gas. See, you see, this is how we think. But so I say, well, I was going to fix that sprinkler when I got home today, but okay, I'll go to Costco with you. So don't be offended when your man tries to throw something else in there. Okay, that's the way we think. Now then, if we come home and we walk in the door and there you're sitting and it's 5:30 in the afternoon and your pajamas are already on. See, I'm looking around at a lot of puzzled faces under 40. Look, 5:30 and your pajamas are on? You just wait. all right? Trust me, it's coming, all right? It's coming. You'll see, all right? So we come walking in. What are you doing? I don't feel like going today. For us as men, we start to crack. What? I had a plan to come with you. I thought we were going to Costco. You're freaking me out here. We're supposed to go to Costco. See, you girls can just say, flip, I don't feel like going. For us as men, it's a part of the plan. It's a part of the routine that we've now established for the rest of the evening. We've already dumped other things. I can say, Mari, I was going to fix the sprinkler. Well, you still can. No, I can't. I'm supposed to go to Costco right now. You see what I'm saying? It's out of the picture. It's behind me now. That's a previous box. See? So here's the deal. I tell that to you also, men, because now that I know this about myself, and now that we know this about ourselves, we can say, hey, you know what? You're not feeling good? No. All right. Switch gears. I don't need to do anything. You know what? What do you need? You know, you want me to go get a pizza for us or what? You see what I'm saying, fellas? We don't have to stress out. We don't have to freak out. We, now that we know, the moment you'll feel it, those little, then you can say, whoa, okay, you know what? It's not that important. You're more important to me than any of this rest of the stuff. And that's very important. We'll get into that in a couple of weeks. So for us as men, this is the typical way that we move throughout a day, and then we go to bed, and the next morning it starts all over again. So very, very important that this is how things are taking place. We're compartmental. This is the way things work. Now, let me tell you a few things about this whole thing here. First of all, ladies, you speak about 30,000 words a day, okay? Men speak about 15,000 words a day. Where do we do most of our communication? Right here in the work box. Most of us as men, we do all or the vast majority of our communicating in that work box, and this is, listen, and most of the communication is about work-related things. Oh, every once in a while, we may stop that and talk about the Chargers or something like that. We may talk about sports things. But what do you think about those Chargers? See, you girls look at that and you go, you're so shallow. So all you talk about is work and sports. But to us, that's a deep, meaningful conversation, you see? So for us as men, we're, you know, that's communication for us. See, for you girls now, you want to be able to sit and talk about deeper things. Come on, let's get beneath the surface. I don't want to talk about work right now. We as men go, what do you want to talk about? Have you ever, check it out, ladies that have sons, when your sons come home from school, so how was school today? What is your answer? Fine. Good. Anything happen? If you have a daughter in your house, you come, your daughters come home. So how was school today? See what I'm talking about? Now, we grow up to be men. We come home. So how was work today? See, we haven't changed. Anything I need to know?
No.
You say, well, can we just talk about something? Well, let me tell you what happened at work. I don't want to talk about work. See, we freeze up because that's all we got. And here's the deal also. We get 15,000 words. We've already burned them up here. So we come home, you've got 30,000, you've still got about another 20 left to go when we come home. And so that's why many men think, man, oh, my wife, all she does is attack away and just I can't get her to shut up. Listen, bro, she's got a bunch of words that need to be used up. Don't store them up till tomorrow. Okay? So this is how God designed us to be, you see? This is the way he designed us. So you see, for you ladies, and it's very hard for me not to get ahead of myself, but for you ladies, meaningful conversation is totally different than it is for us as men. Our conversations go about as deep as the talking about things of work and things of sports. Now, as Christian men, we can go deeper than that, guys. We can. We have been redeemed from that particular curse. But here's something else that I want you to understand, okay? I want you to understand the, and if you've missed everything else that I've said today, ladies, turn on your hearing and listen very carefully. This is absolutely the most important thing that I will share with you today. Your man, the most important need that he has, and I know what you're thinking, sex. No. It's affirmation that oftentimes comes through intimacy. Affirmation. That you affirm your husband. What does that mean? That you make him feel that he is Superman. That you let him know that he's the best at what he does. You see, you have power in your words that you have absolutely no idea the power that you have. Now, typically what happens after the honeymoon is the woman quits affirming her husband. In fact, oftentimes by the time someone ends up in my office, the relationship is very strained. And usually I can tell where that is. If it's that a wife is not giving her husband the affirmation that he craves. And I'm telling you, this isn't just important. It's what we crave. God designed us to crave it. And did you see? He said, I will make you a helper comparable to him. Part of what you do to help, and we'll talk about all of the reasons why in a couple weeks, is you, God designed you to give the affirmation to your husband so that he would want to be with you. But if you stop affirming him and you stop building him up and instead begin to hack, by the time that gets to my office, here's how I can tell. Husband will sit down, the wife will sit down. I'll say, so, what's going on? I'll ask the husband, what's going on? And usually the wife starts talking. And so I know, hint number one, clue number one. So I'll say, so, tell me, what do you do for a living? Or something, some question like that where I'm going to let him give me a response. If she begins by saying, well, don't ask him, you're not going to get anything from him. Is that affirming? What it did is just took an axe to the root of the man. Hack. And usually, you see, ladies, this is very, very important. Typically, for a man, and let me give you another communication tip, okay? If you want to know what's going on in your husband's life, never ask him, so how do you feel about that? You use the word feel, we go, whoa, hello, okay, feel, that does not compute. Since we were little boys, we were told boys don't cry, boys don't have emotions, right? We teach and train our boys that way. So now here we are as men, and we're saying, okay, we become Christians, and all of a sudden, God unlocks this door of our feelings and our emotions. We're freaking out, what is all this? I'm just crying at a commercial. So you, if you want to know, if you girls want to know what's going on, you have to ask us a logical question. What are you thinking? What do you think? See, think is a logical word. We will then begin to tell you things. But listen, for us as men, we are entering into the danger zone. Because we're going to go through a door where we're saying, okay, in my mind, it's thought, it's couched feeling, but I'm going to tell her something. And if you do not affirm it, but instead hack it, we will back up, close the door. And that happens enough in a relationship, a man will bolt the door, shut the door, and that's it. So then what will take place is that man will begin to look for affirmation because the need for affirmation doesn't go away. And the first place that he will look is right here. He will go there, he will work hard, he will become a workaholic. He will begin to do things. Why? Because people at work are saying, dude, you're awesome. You're the best guy we have. I appreciate the long hours that you work. And here's a paycheck to affirm you in addition to all of that. See, a paycheck, we bring it home, we give it to you girls, and for you to say, is that it? That, for a man, that is just hacking away at the affirmation of your man. what we are looking for is, wow, you're the best, you're amazing, that's radical. And if we don't get it, we will do it at work. We will go to the workplace because that's where people will then affirm us as men. Sadly, and not that I am condoning this, but sadly enough, that's when Satan will bring in his little ship to Tarshish, and some other little gal will come in and start saying how wonderful your man is. Now, that's not a threat, and that is not a, you know, I'm not condoning that whatsoever. I'm merely saying that that's Satan's tactic to destroy a marriage. I say that to tell you ladies that where it needs to be coming from is from you to your husband. That you make him feel like he's Superman. If you do, I tell you right now, he will jump tall buildings for you. He'll run faster than a locomotive. He will leap tall buildings and all those kind of things. If you just find, I know some of you ladies, if you're sitting here thinking, I can't think of anything good that he does. Well, then here's the deal. You haven't been affirming your husband. But if you begin to pray, Lord, show me the good thing that my husband does. Show me what it is so that I can begin to build it. You know, you're the best dad that our kids could ever have. You know, I sure do appreciate what you've done. Thank you for doing that. Just giving him that affirmation, I tell you, he will switch from wanting to be at the workplace and he will start to want to come home because that's where God designed the affirmation to come to him. But if you hack away, don't be surprised if he shuts down, closes up, and starts looking for it somewhere else. God's given you, as the helper, that amazing opportunity, and your words are huge. Did you guys read your one-year Bible this morning? I found it fascinating. The proverb for today, I always read the proverb, and the proverb was out of Proverbs 25. And listen to this. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Solomon had, 700 wives? I think he was looking for one of them to affirm him somewhere along the line, right? Okay? If you go back, which we were in just, last week, listen to this. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. That's in chapter 21, verse 9. He repeats it in chapter 25. Isn't that fascinating? Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. If you look through the Proverbs, if you look through the Proverbs, you will see that Solomon understood he was looking for that confirmation. And when he got contention, when he got that hacking, when he didn't get it, he just married another woman. Guy was an idiot, right? Because he didn't understand. Wait a minute, let's work through this problem. So ladies, the most important thing that you can do for your man is to give him that affirmation. Find that way. But I tell you right now, you treat him like a dog, and he'll start to act like Scooby-Doo. I'll tell you that right now. If he'll walk in the house, well, it's about time you got home. Ruh-roh. And he'll turn around and out the way he goes, out the door he goes, right? So this is so very, very important. And so men are the same. When I said the word, and if you could have seen the view from my end of it, when I said the most important thing to a man is affirmation, you could have seen almost every man in this room nod in unison. And so, ladies, I know you're thinking, well, what about what's important to us? I'll get there. And I know what it is. And I will tell your husband because I speak female. Okay? So listen very carefully. I know how to translate from male to female, all right? You'll see. You can trust me. So men, in a relationship, we are compartmental. That doesn't mean that we have to be that way. Ladies, give us instruction. If you need something from us, you need to give us that instruction. Tell us what it is that you need. Secondly, if you want to know what's going on, ask us what we think. We'll be able to tell you that. But understand that we are opening the dangerous door. If we tell you something about, something that is, an intimate, well, let me just tell you what happened to me at work. My boss started yelling at me. Well, you must have done something to deserve it. Do you see what I'm saying? That's just hack. Door goes closed, man backs up. Okay, well, whatever. And that'll be the end of it. Well, why would he say something like that to you? You're the best guy that he has in that whole place. You can own your own business. You see what I'm saying, ladies? Find that thing that he does. Build him and affirm him in that. Some of you might think, well, there's no sense in me doing it. Everybody else does it. I will tell you, I'm going to share with you a little secret. I've told this to Mari, so nothing is being shared that I haven't shared with you before. One of the most amazing thing is to be a guest speaker at another church. It's a wild thing. I can walk in, teach them the exact same thing that their pastor teaches them, and people go, wow, we never heard that before. And it's funny, people will come here and do the same thing, right? So it's something that we as pastors understand. You can walk out in front of a new, you know, with a new group of people, and everyone say, wow, thank you. That's so awesome. Thank you for being here. That's just amazing. We just love you. Thank you for coming here, and give you all of the affirmation and all the pats and the attaboys that a person could ever want. But I tell you right now, listen to me very carefully. Men, listen. I would give all of that up just to hear it from my wife. Am I speaking the truth, men? You will give up all of the affirmation that you get from any other location just to hear it from the woman that God gave you. And so, ladies, that is your one of the primary functions that God gave to you as a helper. Now, interesting, what if you're a single lady here? You can begin to learn how to do that by doing it with your father, with your brothers, men that you truly trust. Don't go, you know, affirming guys that you don't know very well, because it's like a man will, well, did you just say something nice about me, right? So choose wisely, but you can begin practicing, girls, on your dads. I love to hear when my daughter would tell me, Dad, you're the best dad in the whole world. Let me tell you, for a dad, it's like, Superman, right? So, and men, here's the other thing I wanted to share with you. I know that some of you men may be sitting here today saying, she won't do it. Then here's the deal. That is not our excuse to go looking for it somewhere else. Here's what you and I need to remember above all else, men. If your wife is not affirming you, don't go look for it somewhere else. You go and you turn to the Lord. He will affirm you. Because Jesus said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You are important to me. I chose you. I handpicked you. All the affirmation that we need as men, you can get out of the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean so your wife say, well, there you go. Need affirmation? Here you go, pal. You know, no, that's not affirming, okay? Huge. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your amazing word this morning. And I pray, God, for the marriages that are represented in this room today. Oh, Lord. It's so simple, yet we've complicated it. It's so simple, and yet we've rebelled against it. You've given us certain design features. May we operate within those features. And God, I pray for each woman in this room that they would find that something about their husband that they can praise him for, and that you would help them to learn that process. And for us as men, Lord, that we wouldn't be dependent upon it from anyone else but you. And so, God, we commit this to you. I pray, Lord, that anything that was just of me, that was just of my opinion or my fleshly desire this morning, just erase it and let us just hold on to what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.